remembered.
All right, now, he has caused his wonders to be remembered. In the Good News Translation, I'm going to read this one for you. It actually says, the Lord doesn't let us forget his wonderful actions. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, so there is something that God will do that it will be very difficult for you to forget about it. All right, so the scripture says, he has now, you know, it says, the Lord, I love this, does not let us forget his wonderful actions. In King James Version, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. So there are certain type of things that God will do that you'll actually keep on remembering. And I don't know if you are part of the people, but in this month, listen to me. I'm not talking to men and women of hope. I'm talking to men and women of faith. The Lord will do something that you will remember.
I receive.
Now hear this. God remembers and does not mean that he forgets. When we say God remembers, it simply says if God says he will bless you tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes, then he does it. Amen. It means he remembered what he said yesterday.
Yes.
Now you didn't hear me.
Yes.
So if we say God remembers, it doesn't mean that there are things God forgets. No. When we say God remembers, we mean that if he tells you, I'm going to do this, he does not forget about it. And that's the meaning of remembering. However, there are things that blocks people from receiving. We're going to check in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 13 and 14. Okay?
Your weights have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you?
All right. It says, you have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Now, I want you to hear something that is very important. Now, this is what the Lord says. Your words have been harsh against me. You have said words against me. Now, the scripture quickly continues what the Lord is saying. He's saying, you begin to ask questions. What wrong have we said against you? What wrong have we said about you? It says, what you have said is that you have said it is useless to serve God. Wait a minute. Hey, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked, now, that's very important, as mourners before the Lord of hosts. Now, I have something to share with you if you want the Lord to actually do something for you. Never in a single moment begin to think saving God is useless. For you have said that saving God is what?
Useless.
Useless. What profit is it? Oh my God.
Oh yes.
Do you know there are moments when actually the enemy makes you go through problems that you begin to ask yourself questions. I've been serving God for a long time and my life is still like this. Is it even important?
Yes.
Now, did you hear this word? It says, if you say that, it says it is a harsh word against God. And the devil will make sure he puts you at a place where you begin to ask, is it even necessary? I've been saving, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been giving, and my life is still like the Bible says. Now, in verse 13, the scripture says, I have, oh my God, Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. You say, what have we spoken against you? In verse 14, this is what you have spoken against God. You have said it is useless to serve God. For what profit? Now you begin to look at yourself, there is no profit. Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes, prophet.
You begin to look around, there are people out there who are doing better. And you've been faithful and you've been walking in his integrity. And you begin to ask, what profit? I've been here. I've come here to announce to somebody here.
I receive.
I'm about to show you something that is very important.
Show us, prophet.
In other moments when you actually go and say, is it even necessary? Now, there is to save, to walk, to even cry. Go back in verse 14. I want us to check in NIV, and I want you to see this. Can you read it for me?
You have said it is futile to save God.
What do we gain?
By crying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty.
Hear that? You begin to say, I've been doing everything right. I've been praying. I've been doing whatever is supposed to be done. But look at me. Don't be quiet as if this question doesn't come sometimes. Mm.
It comes.
He says, I am having a problem with you thinking what you are doing for me is useless. Mm. I have a problem with you for thinking what you are doing for the kingdom is
useless.
Profitless. I have something because there is something I'm about to do for you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, rakapahateri diga. The hand of the hand, kabush, ensakapahata.
I receive it.
He says, I have a very big problem because you're too hard to judge. Because what I'm about to do for you, he says, I have a big problem. How can you say those words? Oh, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Are you here, somebody?
We hear you, prophet.
Are you here, somebody?
We hear you, prophet.
So I'm here.
I am here.
Now, so he says, you have said it is useless. It is profitless. There is no profit. So we want to see few people in the Bible who were also attacked like you. And the first man we'll be studying is Asaph. Asaph. Somebody say Asaph.
Asaph.
Now, so who was Asaph? Asaph was a man of God who was a worship leader in the choir for David. Especially people in the choir, they even also think like that, I think this is useless.
Oh, yes.
Not only that, but he was also a priest. He was also a man of God. He was like a pastor. Especially the pastors as well. Sometimes they're like, oh, I've been doing everything right. I don't know why my life is still where I am. So Asaph was both a priest and a worship leader. Are you here?
Yes.
Not only that, Asaph was a giver. You see, oftentimes, David asking him, and he will be the one offering a sacrifice. So Asaph was a giver, a worshiper, and a man of God. Now, do I have a giver in the building?
Oh, yes.
Do I have givers in the building?
Oh, yes, prophet.
Do I have those who serve God as men or women of God in the building?
We are here, prophets.
Do I have those who are actually worshipers in the building?
Oh, yes.
So, I'm having the Asaphs of this generation. So, in Psalms, we're going to check the scripture, 73. Let's find Asaph in verse 13.
Psalms,
what did he say?
73, verse 13. Surely, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence.
What is he trying to say? What is Asaph trying to say? He says, okay, I'm going to read it for you from verse 10. Asaph, this is Asaph. Therefore, his people return here and waters of a full cup are drained by them, in verse 11. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. This is Asaph. He's saying these are what? Ungodly. They don't worship God. These are ungodly who are always at ease. They've got peace, no problem, no nothing. Now this is Asaph comparing himself with the people who are not worshiping God. And he's saying, look at them. They've got peace. And they're increasing in what?
In riches.
They're increasing in riches. But look at me. Surely, in verse, I have cleansed. Now, I have cleansed my heart in vain. Now, in NIV, he says, surely, in vain, I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. There's nothing I'm profiting. Look at these people who are actually not godly. They are increasing. They are becoming even richer. Hear this, what the scripture says. So Asaph, he says, these guys are even becoming rich. In verse 14, he has got more problems, Asaph. All day long, I have been afflicted. And every morning brings you what? Punishments. This is a man of God. A worship leader of David. What are you talking about? He says, I'm afflicted. Do you know an affliction?
Yes.
Do you know what is an affliction? An affliction, it's pain that can come through a disease that has got no cure. Imagine Asaph gets a level. He says, I am afflicted. I am tormented. Then he says, every morning there is a new punishment. A new one. You have to pay bills. You don't even know where to get the money for. You have got children. You have got this. You don't even know. Yet in the house of God, you're a worshiper. Yet in the house of God, you are a giver. Yet you are a house of God, you save. Then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, God says, I have something that I have against you. For you say in your heart, we have saved God in vain. There is no profit in walking in his ways. He says, I have got a problem with that. And we are seeing Asaph doing the same things. He says, I don't know now. I serve God and my life is like this. I give and my life is like this. Can I tell you the solution?
Yes.
Can I tell you the solution?
Speak to us, prophet.
Looks like you're not ready for this one. Let's look at another person who also said, I think now I'm tired. In Job 9, verse 29, the famous Job, who you actually think he was the best guy.
Job 9, verse 29. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain?
He says, why do I labor in vain? Why then do I labor in vain? Can you imagine this Job? He says, I am in all these problems. He lost his children. He lost his money. He lost his properties. Then he goes to God. He says, God, I have been walking faithfully to you. Why am I laboring in vain? Why am I what?
Laboring in vain.
Why am I saving and I can't see the profit? Imagine you give, and you're becoming even broke, even poorer. Imagine you fast, and you pray, and things are getting worse. He says, the only mistake you do is to question, where am I
laboring?
Why is it in vain? So God has a problem with it because he knows. Are you here?
We are here, prophet.
He knows it is not what? In vain.
Vain.
Something is going to happen.
Oh, yes, I receive.
Oh, you better hear this. Something is about.
Yes, I hear you, prophet.
Something is going to what? Something is going to happen. So in Malachi, these men of God sat down and began to say, we've been walking and we've been serving God. In Malachi 3, verse 13, he says, what have we been doing? In verse 14, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? He says, you have said it. Now imagine that you pray, you give, you fast, you are faithful to God, and your life is still remaining the same. And God says, I have a big problem with this attitude you're having now, where you are starting to think, I'm becoming poor because I pray too much, I give too much, or I worship too much. God says, I have a very big problem with that word you have said. Because it is not in what?
In vain.
Now, God has a problem. If ever you will be ever tempted, or you were once tempted, repent that immediately.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because
repent.
Asaph, the next verses, he repented. He says, no, I repent.
Yes.
Now, I'm about to show you a very important thing here. So the scripture says that they were thinking, our saving God is in what?
In vain.
Our labor is in vain. What profit are we having? We give, we pray, we fast, and we are seeing nothing. My life is still here. If you have ever had that question against God, listen to this. God says, you ask yourself, what wrong have I done against God? He says, the only thing you have done against me is that saying you said, that there is no profit. My life is still like this. There is no change in my life. God has a problem with that attitude because he understands. He knows whatever he said about you that he's going to do it, he will do it.
Oh, yes.
Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
Somebody say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Let your word come to pass.
Let your word come to pass.
Are you following?
We are following, prophet.
As they were discussing, another group in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, a certain group, they were discussing this to say, we have walked in vain. In verse 14, God says, I have a problem with you. Then there was another group. Oh, are you here?
Oh, yes, we hear you.
Yes, sir.
Now, there are two groups.
Yes.
Another group, they are regretting to say their giving has no profit. They are seeing no change. Their prayers, they can't see change. As they were discussing, another group, in verse 16, check it. Another group, what happened?
Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yes.
Well, others were complaining. Those who feared God, they began to encourage each other.
Mm.
Oh, the scripture says.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it is written. Oh, the Bible says. The Bible says they talk to what? To each other. But those who feared God. Now, as this other group were complaining, we've been serving God. There's no profit. The Bible says, then those who feared the Lord began to talk
to each other.
They began to speak to each other.
Oh, yes.
It is written in Psalms 34,
verse
16,
oh, yes.
Verse 19.
Oh, yes.
Many are the problems of the righteous,
oh, yes.
But the Lord shall deliver him,
oh, yes.
Out of them all.
Oh, yes.
I may rise, but I will rise again.
Oh, yes.
There is hope for a tree that has been cut. As they were speaking to one another.
Oh, yes.
As they were speaking to one another.
Oh, yes.
The book of remembrance in heaven was opened for them. Karovehete. La supra anta kavaha.
Yes.
Jakia fahande prahete. La supra adekebos. Tonight we are speaking to one another. There is hope for a tree that has been cut. It can shoot again.
Oh, yes.
We are speaking to one another. Many are the problems of the righteous.
Oh, yes.
But the Lord shall deliver him out of them all.
Oh.
Somebody shall receive a miracle.
I receive.
Now sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down. La kahande fehete, la suve, la prehende kevia. I want us to go a bit further and find out. Because sometimes people think God does not know. Because what can cause a question of what profit? I've been praying, I've been giving, I've been fasting, I can't see you see, what can bring that question? It is you not knowing that God knows you. So before we go further, I want to show you, what does God know about you? Come on, somebody say, what does God know about me?
What does God know about me?
Number one, God knows your works, your toil, and your patience, your endurance. When I talk about works, I don't mean your good works in church. No, we'll come about that. I mean, if you're doing business, if you're working, if you're trying, if you're hustling, whatsoever you do, your patience, your endurance, God knows. Now, we're going to read the scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 2. What does the scripture say?
I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear.
So, number one, he knows
our works.
Your works, he knows your labor. If you check the word works there from the Greek, and labor there is not the one you do in church. It is whatever you are doing. God knows them. He knows your works. Whatsoever you do, he knows. He actually knows right now that your business has failed. He knows it. He actually knows you have applied for somewhere. They haven't picked you. He knows it. So number one, he knows your works and he knows your labor. Number two, what does God know? God knows your difficult moment, your tribulation. He also knows your poverty. In verse 9 of Revelation 2, he knows your tribulation, your difficult moments. He also knows your poverty.
Revelation 2 verse 9. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty.
Exactly. Now imagine, what is poverty? It is lack of resources, right? He knows you have got no money. He knows you are poor. So people sometimes do not understand that God knows. Number one, he knows your business, your labor, your works. I know them. Then he says, I know your tribulation. What is tribulation? Persecution. People fight you for praying. Even others hate you because you come to a prophetic church. Others even say a lot of things. He knows your tribulation. He actually knows your works. He even knows your poverty.
Oh, yes.
He also knows your address, your house address. He even knows that it has got one bedroom. It's written in the Bible, I'll show you. He even knows that the house you're staying, he knows it. He knows that there's a door that has got a problem. He knows that even your bathroom has got a problem. They fix it and there's another problem. No, it's in the scripture. I will show you. In verse 19, what does it say?
I know your works.
Oh, before we go there, sorry, let's go verse 13 first. We just jumped verse 13.
Revelation 2, verse 13. I know your works and where you dwell.
Stop there. I know your works and where you what?
You dwell.
Do you know the meaning of where you dwell?
Yes.
It means where you what?
Where you stay.
Where you are staying, he even knows it. He knows that even the curtains have got a problem. I know where you dwell. The word dwell there means it. I know your house, even where you live, even the bed, I even know. Imagine, I'm trying to put this in your mindset. Why are you worried? He knows where you dwell. Whether it's a nice house, he knows it. He actually knows it. He knows where you dwell. But if you see, everywhere he says, I know your works, I know your works, I know your works. The word works was mentioned 5 times. He says, I know where you dwell. I know about it. I know. And then in verse 13 of Malachi chapter 3, people are complaining. In verse 14, they're even saying, we don't see the prophet. We've been serving God and we don't see the what?
The prophets.
In NKJV, they don't even see the prophet. They said, we've been serving God. It's useless. We can't see the prophet. Then in Revelation, God is coming with answers. I know your business. I know your works. I know your career. I know where you live. Where you dwell. I know your what? Your tribulation. I know your suffering. I know your poverty. Somebody say from now.
From now.
The book of remembrance will open.
The book of remembrance will open. I receive.
How can you talk like a child?
Asa.
I've been trying. I've been like this. I've been. Do you know Job said the same words? Job said the same words. He said, I have served God in vain. I have labored in vain. Imagine that you do things, no profit. You invest in business, no profit. You work so much, no profit. Job said, I've labored in vain. But I have a message for you tonight.
Oh, yes.
Ah, come on, you're not hearing me.
Oh, yes, we hear you, prophet.
I have a message for you.
Oh, yes.
Something great is going to happen.
I receive.
What else does God know? He knows your patience. He knows your suffering. He knows your faith. In verse 19, which we just read, what does it say?
I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, they
are you here? Are you here, somebody?
Oh, yes, we hear you.
He knows your what? Let's look at them. Works. He knows about your love. I love people. Hey, they don't love me, but he knows you love people. He knows your agape. He knows you love. If you actually using eros, he even knows this is eros. It's not agape. He knows every type of. I know your love. I know your service. Whether you're an usher, whether you're a partner, whether you give, whether you're a preacher, whether you I know your service. Amen. I even know your what? Your suffering. I even know your patience. You've been patient for a long time. I know about your patience. And then he says, I know about your faith. I've been believing. I have got so much faith. Nothing is changing. God says, I know of your faith. Amen. Come on. Somebody say, I'm here, prophet.
I am here, prophet.
But when God rebuked in Malachi 3, verse 14, he says, stop that. Then God went to another group in verse 16, which were not murmuring. Which instead of murmuring, they were encouraging each other. They were talking to one another. As they were encouraging one another, the Bible says God, not some of them, but all of them, a scroll of remembrance was opened.
Oh, yes.
God performed a wonder.
Oh, yes.
Of Psalm 111, verse 4. A wonder that no one can forget about.
Oh, yes.
Am I talking to somebody right here?
Oh, yes, prophet.
I prophesy to you. This shall be your portion. I say, this shall be your portion.
I receive.
So what did Job do? In Job 9, verse 29, Job was what? Complaining. He said, I have labored in vain. I have worked for nothing. I've been faithful for nothing. But then he changes his confession. He changes his confession. In Job 42, verse 7, he changes his confession.
Job 42, verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is alone against you, and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.
Did you see that? Who said the right thing? I don't know if you're getting it. who will say the right thing? And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz and Teminite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Who spoke a right thing?
Job.
So there were three. Two servants of God plus Job. Three servants of God. Two spoke something about God. And Job spoke what? The right thing. It is all about speaking a right thing. What do you say? It is all about saying the right things. In Malachi 3 verse 13, people are not saying what? The right things. In verse 14, God is saying, you are saying wrong things. How can you say your saving is useless? How can you say your giving has no profit?
Lord, have mercy.
I pray tonight.
Oh, yes.
That God open your eyes.
I receive.
And he open your ears.
I receive.
And he helps you to start saying right things.
I receive.
Now, imagine this, that Job, before he was saying useless things, then he says what? A right thing. In verse 8 of 42, what do we start seeing? Now, therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. God now is commanding people. Job has no money. Now, God is commanding people to start taking things to go and give Job as an offering.
Amen.
You didn't hear me.
Oh, yes, you hear me.
And what do we see? On the same chapter and the following chapter, what do we see? Job was restored whatsoever he had lost.
Amen.
7 times. Amen. This is a man who was saying what? There is no profit. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
In verse 7, God is recommending Job for starting to be saying what? Right things. In verse 8, God is recommending him. In verse 9, God is recommending him. In verse 10,
so
the Lord restored Job's losses. Oh my God. How did God restore Job's losses? He was saying the right things.
Mm.
No, you didn't hear me.
We hear you, prophet.
The difference between the people in Malachi 3 verse 13 and 14 and those of Malachi 3 verse 16 was that in Malachi 3 verse 13 to 14, they were saying what? Wrong things. What were they saying? I can't see a prophet. I've been serving and I can't see the prophet. Why am I even serving? In verse 16, they were not saying that. They were encouraging one another. They were talking in the scriptures and God remembered them. Job, in chapter 9, he's complaining that his work in the Lord is useless. In chapter 42, he changes his confession. He begins to say right things. God comes down and he says, I'm restoring you whatsoever you lost. Sometimes it is just about you to start changing your confessions. It is not in vain that you are serving. It is not useless that you are serving.
Oh yes.
In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, let's see the scripture. What does the Bible say?
1 Corinthians 15 verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren,
be steadfast in the Lord, immovable, always abounding in what?
In the way.
It says, therefore,
my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Did you hear that?
Oh, yes, we hear you.
Probably. Knowing that whatsoever you are doing is not in what?
In vain.
So if you are fasting, your fasting is not what?
In vain.
If you are faithful in the Lord, your faithfulness is not in vain.
Yes.
If you pray, if you speak in tongues,
oh, yes.
If you are a giver,
oh, yes.
If you're a tither,
oh, yes.
If you love God,
oh, yes.
Your love in the Lord is not in vain. Your love for people is not in vain. Your service in the Lord is not
in vain.
Stop speaking negative things.
Oh, yes, prophet.
Stop speaking wrong things.
Oh, yes.
Start talking what?
The right things.
When Job began to speak right things, immediately, it just takes 3 verses. The Bible says, and God restored Job's losses. The reason why God is still quiet, it is sometimes what you think or what you say.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes you look at yourself, I've been faithful, but look at my life. Stop speaking that nonsense. It is stopping the process of restoration.
Oh, yes.
It is delaying the process of compensation.
Oh, yes.
There are things God wants to do in your life.
Oh, yes.
But the things you are saying. The more Job was saying these things, the more he was being delayed to receive. Until he began to say right things. Raise your hand and say, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Help my faith.
Help my faith.
May you help me.
May you help me
to say the right things.
To say the right things.
Somebody say, my service in your name.
My service in your name.
My service in your house.
My service in your house.
My commitment to you.
My commitment to you
is not in vain.
Is not in vain.
Say it again. Is not in vain.
Is not in vain.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.